We're now going to have our Bible reading. Barbara is going to read to us from the book of Luke. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. Is that right? Yes. Luke chapter 7. Absolutely, Barbara. 1 to 10. Thank you.
The reading is entitled The Faith of the Centurion. When Jesus had finished saying all this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. There, a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. So Jesus went with them. He wasn't far away from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I didn't even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the Lord, say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. Turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I haven't found such great faith even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Who's heard of the Staffordshire Hoard? Has anybody seen it? It's worth a look if you get the chance. Amazing. Somebody found it in a field around Leek. Well, I was digging in Alison's garden the other day, which, you know, is an unusual occurrence. I was digging this really big, deep hole for Alison. It's all right. She's all right. And I found at the bottom of this hole, I found some artifacts. And I've had to clean them up. There's a lot of mud and rubbish on them, but I've cleaned them up. Now, I think I know what they are. I think they must be from the prehistoric period. So I'm kind of on a par with the Staffordshire Hoard, but I brought them along because I thought a second opinion would be good. So this first thing, I can get it out of the bag. I think... This is some kind of prehistoric serving dish. I think it's a serving dish. Okay, I think you put your dinosaur steak on there. So, or I did think it could be some sort of hat. So, but I couldn't get that to work really. So has anybody got any ideas what it might be? Does anybody kind of think what it might be? Anybody? Oh, you were a tough audience this morning. Anybody at all?
A shield.
You know, I did wonder that. It's a bit flimsy, but then it has been in the ground a long time. So a shield, okay. Well, we can have a think about that. I'll get this other item out. Now, this, I think, was some sort of drinking vessel. It's a bit broken up, but I think it's some sort of drinking vessel, really. Just kind of do that with it, you know. Any ideas yourselves?
Would it fit on your head?
You could, thank you, yeah, but I kind of tried that, but it kind of didn't work really for me. What do you think?
Back to front,
you think, you reckon? By God, this is a hard audience this morning. So there we go. So, yeah, I know what this last thing is, though. You're not fooling me on this. It's a carving knife. It's a
carving knife for those dinosaur steaks.
A carving knife for those dinosaur steaks. So you put your dinosaur steak like that. So who do you think these might have belonged to then? You think a Roman centurion? You think so?
Yeah.
Come on, that's a kind of coincidence, isn't it, really? So, you think I've got a bit of the Russell Crowe about me?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I'm beginning to like you now. I don't think so. So, we're talking about... Roman centurion. So what sort of things, other than a sword, a shield and a helmet, what other qualities do you think a Roman centurion would have needed? Has anybody got any ideas? I think they might have needed a bit of what I'm lacking, a bit of muscle, a bit of strength. Any other qualities? Don't shout all at once.
Leadership.
Yeah, they'd have needed a bit of leadership, wouldn't they? So anything else?
A smaller hat,
possibly, better hat. Anything else? Any other qualities? What about being part of a team? Brave? Loyal? What about faith? Would a Roman centurion have needed faith in order to do what they were going to do? It's not really a quality you kind of think about with soldiers much, is it? But in this passage that we've had read to us, this soldier, this centurion, he did have faith, and he had amazing faith. Now, he was a Roman centurion, so he had men under him, probably 100 or so men. And so he must have been a soldier for some time. He would have probably fought in some battles. So he knew his stuff. He knew what qualities made a good soldier. He would also have other soldiers above him in rank, and he also knew how to take orders. So when he was told to do something, he would do it. And when he told the soldiers under him to do something, they did it, or he made sure they did it. So he understood how to command men. So they would just get on with whatever he said to them. He understood the idea, the chain of command, how it worked in the army. But he was a Gentile. He wasn't a Jew. He was a Gentile, a foreigner, a pagan. And yet he got this faith in this little-known preacher called Jesus. He had faith in Jesus to do as he asked him. Now, that's not something I would have expected of a Roman soldier. And we're going to have a little bit of a closer look at that in our next talk. How many of you have been on one of those? Who's been on one of those? What about one of those? Been on one of those? What about one of those? So who do you have to have faith in if you're going on any of those? Captain, pilot, ferry captain, train driver, crew, mechanics, people who lay the rails, Coast Guard, whoever's in charge, thank you.
Aerodynamics.
So we put our faith in all sorts of people, don't we? And mostly the people we don't know, because when I've been on a plane, which is not very often, or a ship or a train, I don't know who's driving it. I don't know the mechanics. I don't know the people who've done all their stuff. And generally, we don't even think about it, do we? And in this reading, the Roman centurion put his faith in Jesus. Although the series is called People Jesus Met, in fact, we don't know whether this centurion ever did meet Jesus. But he put his faith in Jesus. It's likely that he'd heard about him. He must have known about him. He must have heard something about him. But we don't even know whether he met him. There is another quality about a good soldier that's not really something we think about very much, and that is a good soldier needs to see things as they really are. So what have we got? Have we got two birds? Have we got birds and fish? Fish and birds, that's Escher drawing. He does some amazing drawings, that guy did. But what are we seeing there? A soldier needs to live in the moment. They need to live in the reality of what's going on, to see things as they are, not as they would like them to be. There are three people in this story who see things in different ways. So we've got the elders of the Jews, and they think good works are the key. They are the friends of the Roman centurion, and they come to plead his case to Jesus. In verses 4 and 5 it says, "And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, 'This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue.'" He's built down the local synagogue, which is great. I mean, we'd love somebody if they built, you know, a new church hall for us or something. He was sympathetic to the Jews. He wasn't hostile. He wasn't a burden to them. And they say, he deserves you have them do this. He deserves Jesus' help because he has done good works. Their view of a relationship with Jesus is you do good works and he'll do good in return to you. It's what I call the vending machine God idea, that you put something in at the top and something good comes out at the bottom. And that is expecting good things from God because we've said our prayers or been to church or whatever. But Jesus doesn't correct their thinking, but he is prepared to go along with them. In verse 6 it says, "So Jesus went with them." Next we have the Roman centurion and how he sees things. And he sees things differently. From verse 6, "So Jesus went with them, and he was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, 'Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it.' He is humble enough to see himself as he is, unworthy. The centurion recognizes that he isn't worthy and doesn't deserve Jesus to come to him. He doesn't need to have any signs or even the presence of Jesus there. He knows that if Jesus just says the word, then it will happen. He has a humble faith in Jesus. And then we have Jesus's view of things. In verse 9, "When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, 'I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel.' Then the man who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well." Jesus was amazed at him. We kind of pass over that so easily. "I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel." Jesus had been preaching all over the place, and he had not found such great faith in the Jews. Jesus saw that this Roman, a Gentile, pagan, who shouldn't even be interested in him, in fact had great faith in him, greater than any he'd come across in the whole of Israel. Jesus saw that the Roman centurion could actually see things as they really are. And there is one other place in the Gospels where Jesus was amazed. It was for the opposite reason. He was amazed at the lack of faith. Jesus had returned to his hometown in Nazareth and preached at the synagogue. But the people there, the people who knew him, people who saw him grow up, showed very little faith in him. So little that he was actually amazed at their lack of faith. These were the people who'd known him all their lives. They were Jews. They knew the Old Testament scriptures. And yet Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith. You can read that story in Mark's Gospel. Jesus isn't looking for good works. He looks at where our faith is placed. He sees if you put your faith in him. We don't need to have seen him in order to have faith in, so that's a good thing. You don't have to be a particular kind of person. The Roman centurion came from all the wrong kind of background, but he could still put his faith in Jesus. The Roman centurion, he wasn't worthy. We aren't worthy. In fact, no one is worthy. It doesn't even need to be a lot of faith to start off with. Jesus himself said, the size of a very small seed will do. It can grow. Your faith in Jesus doesn't go unnoticed by him. Putting your faith in Jesus is an exercise in seeing things as they really are. And in this world, that's really important. Then the men who came, who had been sent, returned to the house and found the servant well. Things can change when we put our faith in Jesus. Even if we don't know him well, we can come to him in faith. Just a small amount of faith is all that we need. Jesus can change lives when people come to him with a humble faith. Amen.